September 14th, 2010, talking with Stephanie Coffin. When did you first come to Atlanta?
Tom and I came to Atlanta in 1967. We were married the 25th of May in Montana.
Montana?
We came from the West Coast, Patrick.
Oh, but Montana.
Well, we're on our way.
We got married.
We got married on the way, and we stopped in Montana. No, Idaho. Because Idaho has a, you know, you can get married right away. You don't have to wait. So Coeur d'Alene, that's the famous marriage place in Idaho. We got married in there, and we spent our honeymoon night in Montana. And then we came... We spent a little bit of time in New York, and then we came down here. Tom is going to go to school at Emory.
So you came to Emory, and then how on earth did y'all end up down in the 14th Street area in the first place?
Well, you know, at Emory, you know, we were right in the middle of the anti-war days. Big, you know, big movement all over, and so... Tom started agitating at Emory with some people that you probably know, Henry Bass, and Workshop of Nonviolent People, and we met Ted and Ann there. Yeah, we met Ted and Ann then, way back in 1967. And I worked a couple of odd jobs, but he was going to school. He was going to graduate school in English literature. And he just did not do well at Emory. I mean, he couldn't stand it. He was too conservative. So we got involved in all this political activity at Emory and did these vigils and then put out a little paper, which he has a couple here. He can show you. Wow. Big American Review. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I didn't.
Oh, yeah. We
see, learning.
These little mimeograph sheets. And so Steve Abbott. Did you know Steve Abbott?
Yeah,
Steve Abbott. That's when we met Steve Abbott. Steve Abbott did work for the, submitted work for the this mimeograph sheet. Ted Brodick and Monty. Who else is around? Those people at Emory, this little core group of Emory. And then when Tom dropped out of school, he'd never finished one semester there. We, at the same time, started meeting all these other anti-war activists in the city. And Anne met up with all these people, kind of post-civil rights, white people coming out of the civil rights movement, and kind of looked around and said, there's no underground paper here. And so we said, well, why don't we do one? I mean, it was just like that. Well, let's do this. And then we did this. It was just like that, because that's the way it was in those days.
Yeah.
And so we ended up on 14th Street. Actually, we started meeting in September and had meetings on through the winter time. And then I think we rented the house on 14th Street in January or February. I can't remember.
Were the meetings at the house back behind the birdhouse?
No, the meetings were just in people's houses. No, when we got the birdhouse, we... almost went into production right away. You know, there wasn't very much time there. We went to the, you know, we started the bird with people putting in money from their pocket. We had a very unsuccessful fundraiser over in the rich Emory neighborhood. You know, planned all this, you know, we had a person playing piano, jazz, and you know, it just, but we didn't get much money at all. So we pretty much, people chipped in from their pocket to pay for the first printer. And then, do you know Howard Romaine?
Yeah.
Howard Romaine had, he actually rented the house using National Student Association? Get the big organization. He rented that house for us. National Student Association? I can't remember the name of it. It was the one that was infiltrated.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And so we rented, I mean, that was a great, it was a great find. It was, those houses all along on 14th Street had been allowed to really deteriorate.
Yeah.
So they were clearly the renters, the landlords. We never met the landlords. We're looking for somebody who was temporary. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up over there, which was really great because that area has historically been a very, well, it was the Jewish area. I guess you knew that. And it was kind of the intellectual area of town, white intellectual area. So it had a good history.
Yeah. Well, we've tried to track down it. Also, when the Cotton States Exposition was held, the sideshow was at 10th and Peachtree, right alongside the pit. And that was a pretty wild area. And also the artisans that helped build the buildings all settled all up in along 15th and 16th. So it had a bohemian air even then, in the 1890s.
I didn't know that.
And it seemed to have kind of stuck that too, because that was why Margaret Mitchell was down there, because she was considered a bit of a bohemian who wore pants and wrote and ran around with, you know, normally male activities. So that's interesting. It keeps piling on things that for some reason that was the area.
Yeah. And it was a good area. I mean, Tom and I lived upstairs in the birdhouse. And we rented the basement. And let me see. Charlie Cushing and Harvey, girlfriend with a little girl named Katie. They lived there too, upstairs. And there was a kitchen downstairs. And I have no memory of eating anything there. Or cooking. Or buying food or anything. I have it's an absolute blank. But I know we did because we didn't have any money, right? It was a wonderful area. I loved it.
Yeah.
We had a big sleeping porch in the back of the birdhouse. There were two levels of porches, and we were on the top, and it was a huge, as big as this, sleeping porch. We mostly lived out there.
Well, Charlie Cushing then moved a house on the next street over behind y'all, didn't he? Because that's when I first met him. He was living over there.
Probably.
Had a bunch of old semi-busted vehicles around.
Oh. So we lived there until I was pregnant in March. I got pregnant in March. I had Zachary in December of 68. So we felt like we had to move right before Zachary was born. So we moved to Argonne, which wasn't far.
Yeah. And then when did you move over here?
We moved in Argonne for a short period of time, but we only had one bedroom. So then we moved to 312 9th Street, which is right behind 10th Street.
Uh-huh.
And so it was real close to the park.
Yeah.
And then we moved over to 1021 Highland View because they were starting to gentrify Midtown. And we had this duplex. We lived on one side of it, and Sue Thrasher lived with us, and also Doyle Neiman lived with us. She lived on the other side, and Doyle Neiman lived with us. And so we got kicked out, and we just started looking in the paper. We didn't have any money. We looked in the paper and got this out of the paper.
Yeah, this
good
was
fortune.
This was still a running down area.
This was a very run down area when we moved here.
Mm-hmm.
All the old people were being shoved out. You know, they hit them for housing codes.
Yeah.
And they were shoving people out.
Well, they had the plan that's on the book. They wanted to turn Atlanta into an asterisk of superhighways going out in eight directions. And so one was coming through here, one was going straight over through Emory. And
right. So we've been here ever since. We got our house, we got this huge, beautiful house we're living in for $19,500. Which was a fortune to us at the time. Fortune. And we moved here with Sue and Doyle, so we lived very communally for the first